Join us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody, and my nickname is also Shea Coulee's winning outfit from RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. Booyah!
Awesome. we have a cool episode for you today, and that cool, I mean informative, not necessarily cool, like happening. Although, I think we are hip. I think we are.
A little bit.
We have a chemistry going, you know, as blurreds, as you will. And I think that our last few shows have been really entertaining. I've been talking to people, a.k.a. the small people in my circle and my wife. And they all are having a good time. They enjoyed it, especially the episode about the black TV shows. Really like that. Really brought up some memories. And I know a lot of them went to go stream a lot of stuff that we talked about. So kudos That's to awesome. Us in that regard. But yeah, before we get into the things that we're going to talk about, we want to just hit a little bit of what happened this past week. Not a whole lot. Microsoft showed off some games for their upcoming console. It didn't blow anybody away, per se. I think the biggest takeaway from Microsoft was their accessibility. Via the Game Pass, which is, I think, roughly $14 a month or something along those lines, you get a ton of games, including majority of their launch titles, if not all of them. I think all of the ones that they showed, you kind of get. And for the people who don't know what Game Pass is, it is it's basically a Netflix for video games on the Xbox. And so you get all of their exclusive games like Halo Infinite on launch day, and you can play it for as long as you want, as long as you're paying monthly. And the idea is that because it's the Game Pass is on the Xbox One, it's on PC, it's on the new console, you are going to be able to play these games regardless if you upgrade or not. And if you have they're going to be rolling out, or the rumor is they're going to be rolling out the xCloud to the Game Pass, which means you'll be able to play these games on your phone, your tablets, and because it's all running through the cloud. And that's really awesome, because as cool as the PlayStation exclusives were when they showed their show, you have to pay full price for those. The idea is that the price is going to go up this year, so $70 for these games, and that's, you know, after you buy the system, you have to, you know, purchase those games. Whereas the Xbox, if you upgrade, you still can use the old controllers that you have from your Xbox One, and you get all these games. And, you know, for however, and I'm pretty sure they're going to bundle it with the console, the Game Pass, when it comes out. So, yeah, you're going to be able to play, and that makes it extremely accessible to people in different ballparks when it comes to money, right? Like, if you can't afford the new system, get the Game Pass, you can still play a lot of their games that are going to be coming out. So,
nice.
Again, I'm still on the fence about who I'm going to be purchasing or which system I'm going to be purchasing first, but I think Xbox did a solid job in letting people know that, hey, if you can afford, you know, Netflix with however many screens, you can afford to play a ton of games, which for someone who is looking for a rental service that is not Gamefly, because no, that would be awesome. Nah, Gamefly is solid. The thing is, it's really hard to get new games. Old games, you're straight, but new games, because they only get so many and everybody wants them, it's kind of difficult. Yeah. Whereas, and then it's also through the mail, and who wants to be handling mail right now? So I you know what I mean. And we're not gonna talk about the Redbox. Beyond that,
I didn't push. I was like, nope, we're not.
No, we're just not. Beyond that, on a personal note, I watched anime because yes, and I caught up on One Piece, which is getting pretty good.
Oh wow!
Me and my friend were talking about how it was impossible for us to watch One Piece before we could like binge watch it. Watching it episode, which is I'm finding out now that I'm at the end of the episodes, I can't wait for the next week. There's so little amount of story in each episode, and the story is the series is so freaking long. I mean, we're in the 900 episodes that it would be hard to sit there every week and wait, you know. So while One Piece is, you know, kind of storing up content, I slide over to Black Clover, or I go over to Boruto, or I move around to kind of build up. But what I've been watching has been pretty entertaining, and especially Black Clover with some of their fillers, which are hilarious. I never thought I would like fillers, aside from Naruto. I'm telling you, aside from Naruto, where they give you like a little bit of, extra backstory that's not in the manga, it's the only filler I want to watch. Like Black Clover is doing a really good job because they develop the characters a little bit more, but they get into really funny things. Like for instance, this one character has a crush. And side note, what is with this unbridled love stuff of anime all of a sudden? Like everybody has to be in a love triangle. It's Korean drama all over. Anyways, so one character likes another character, and this person accidentally touches them. And instead of like being like, "Oh gosh, they touch me. Let me try not to blush," she literally runs out and jumps out of the window. It was the funniest thing I had seen. It was great. And she was fine. She's a warrior, so it was, it's just seeing her let her guard down and then like have to dive out a window because she's embarrassed is, yeah, it was good stuff. So that's been my week on a personal note. Aside from some ups and downs with trying to get our riding lawnmower working, I spilled gasoline on myself. And I went and had to bathe, and I still smell like gas. I thought, if I stay out in the sun, I would catch flame, and
That's a possibility.
I just wasn't, because it's been hot, right? It's been hot, so I did get it working, and we were able to cut most of the backyard with it. There were some areas that I couldn't get with it, so I had to use the push more. And that's been it. That's been most of my time has been mundane stuff. I did do a review. I did do a review, the
Oh.
first one I've done in a while, gaming wise. Carry On, it's on our website, unitedfrontgaming.com. Solid game, solid game. It's a horror based game, but it's reverse horror. You actually play as the monster, tearing people up.
Oh,
And it's,
interesting.
yep, it's puzzle laden. So like you have to solve puzzles to kind of get around, but you play as like this amphibious creature with like all these tentacles and something straight out of anime, and you're just pulling people and biting people, but you have to figure out how to get out of these this laboratory or this underground facility. And yeah, pretty solid. It's I'm not gonna tell you the score because you need to go read it, but it's good. And so this week for you've been you've been working at a pharmacy.
I've been working at a pharmacy and my feet hurt. I mean, dang. Like, they have these mats on the floor that make it nicer. I mean, like, my point is that it's not like hard vinyl floor that you find in like grocery stores and stuff. And, no, it's they have like those gym mats. Like, if you have a home gym and you put those mats, they have those connecting mats as the floor. And then they put a mat on top of the mat, like the places where you stand. So it should even be better.
Mats on
And
mats on mats.
no, I've been there for like 8 days and my feet are back to having plantar fasciitis. I'm like, I haven't had plantar fasciitis for like 5 years and I got it like after 2 days. What nonsense is this? This is really making me rethink this whole being employed thing. But and there's that. And then there's also the fact that, maybe this for me, I almost killed some people. Like, I put the wrong medicine in the wrong bottle.
Oh
And then I was
God.
like, yeah, maybe I'm not so good. By the way, it didn't happen. And none of y'all know where I work anyway. So, no, I really did. Like, I was putting some stuff away and then I accidentally put something in the wrong bottle. I was like, oh no. And then I fixed the error because I realized it immediately. It wasn't like I was like, oh, done. Made a mistake. Here, go about my life. No, I caught it immediately because I saw myself do it. And I was like, oh, hey, I need to fix this.
And
So.
you can't, when you see yourself do it, I mean, you gotta stop.
Yeah. And I mean, otherwise they don't hire people who can't check themselves. I mean, like, I literally saw the mistake that I made. Like, I had my hand on the wrong thing and I was doing it too quickly because somebody was rushing me and I did it too quickly. And I was like, oh, I made a mistake. And luckily the pharmacist is right there. He's like, oh, that's an easy fix. Don't worry, we can fix that. Nobody
Nice.
even knows what I'm talking about.
Nice.
And I even labeled the bottles and said, hey, anybody who dispenses this, make sure you just double check, even though I already double check.
Yes, triple
So,
check.
triple check. It'll now be quadruple checked.
Yes, because we don't need anyone to have any type of issue because they have the wrong medication.
Hello? I'm like,
Cause...
I'm not going to be responsible for that. You don't know
No.
me.
No.
I'm a ghost. Like, I'm not there. So yeah, I've been doing some of that, and yeah, I'm definitely rethinking that life. I clearly need to go back to this life where you don't have to be on your feet all day and get plantar fasciitis. So it's like, hey, you can be unemployed and not make any money, which is terrible, or you can be employed, barely make any money because places are hiring for like $2 right now, and then you can stand on your feet all day, and you're like, now I need to pay a doctor to work on my plantar fasciitis again. I gotta figure this out.
Yeah, man. It's it's it and the some a part of it is the fact that we've been kind of sedentary with being in the home all the time and and obviously the few of you who work out and like run every day, we're not talking about you. We're talking about us, okay? I had a physical trainer. I had this whole I was gonna go see a nutritionist. I had all this stuff lined up. I was losing weight actually. And then 2019, the end of 2019 was very rough for our family. And then
Yeah,
after that
definitely.
was Corona. And I couldn't go see a nutritionist. Obviously, I couldn't partner with my personal trainer at the gym anymore. And I got quarantine body. And so now it's actually diff like I was mad when I was done cutting, and mind you, I cut some of it on a riding lawnmower and some of it with a push lawnmower, and I was mad tired. I felt like I gotten jumped, like someone that had robbed me from my shoes and just left me in the
Well,
middle of a field. Yes,
the sun robbed you.
it just I it's like I was baking while I was doing it, and my back hurt and
And
my
you were on fire. You had gasoline on your body.
yes, and gas, so I was nauseous and like yeah. So I'm trying to figure out a way to like get back into shape and whatnot, and it's been difficult. It's been difficult for and some of it we're gonna talk about tonight in terms of things being difficult right now. Speaking of
Well, it's
which,
definitely difficult because you can't use your watches anymore. My Garmin is now jailbroken. Well, not jailbroken, but it's a brick because Garmin got hacked.
yeah, you know what? That's going around because Twitter got hacked as well, and
Yup.
a lot of the blue, none of the blue checks could actually say anything on Twitter for a while last week, and come to find out, it was a huge thing, and Twitter had to shut stuff down and get it fixed. And there was people that were getting onto these accounts and trying to sell things as a famous person, and yeah, it was. Yeah, like I guess the hackers have time. They have time today. So.
They sure do have time. They have nothing to do. They're all quarantined. They're inside. Hackers love hacking. Like, all for hacking for them is just the joy of hacking. They're not even like really about like the damage. They just love doing it because, like, oh my God, I did this. And then you get some money for it. But yeah, it was like, Barack Obama selling Bitcoin?
Yeah,
What?
like, sir, no. No, I know times are rough, but your wife is about to put out a book, fam. Like it's not that
Yeah,
tough.
you're getting a whole show, like a whole network.
Fam, look, that's a whole nother podcast. So tonight we want to talk about the difficulties that have arisen due to 2020 being a dumpster fire. And a lot of it stems from, I mean, for depending on who you are, like a lot of it for me stems from the idea that I can't do things that I normally could do. And because I work from home previous to all of this stuff and homeschooling and all that other good stuff, but I always had an out in the sense that, like, after, for instance, when everything was fine, I would do homeschooling, then I would work. And be around the kids, whatever, make sure they were fed and alive and all that good stuff. And then I would take them to, let's see, I think it was on Tuesdays, I would take them to dance practice. So they had ballet and tap. And after that, I would tag my wife as she was getting home from work, tag, and then I would go to the movies. We actually put it into the budget for me to go see a film. One of my favorite things to do is actually go to the theater. And so that was I was able to unwind. I was able to like clear my head, and I wasn't lonely. I was around people, but I didn't have to talk to them. So my introvert self was able to deal. And
Yeah.
because I was away from my family, at least 2 hours,
Yeah.
I got home, I had more energy, and I can go to the, I can start the next day. And with it being, a constant, everyone's home constantly now, my anxiety and for people who don't know, being an introvert doesn't mean you don't want to be around people. It just means that it takes energy to be around people, and so
Yeah.
you need to get that energy back in order to function. And it's harder to do that now because you're always around.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a bad way, but it's just like having the time to be to not be on, especially as a parent. Like I'm always on in terms of like what are my kids doing, what are they watching, are they safe when they play in the backyard, like who's that dude over there, stuff like that.
Who
And
is that dude over there?
I don't know, but hey, you don't want no smoke, fam. Anyways, so you know what I'm saying? And like it kind of causes, it makes it so that it's harder to deal with other things. And so that's just that for, personally. And I don't know other people, how they're dealing. I know like people, there's the joke that like, the your wives and husbands are at it, and their children are pissing them off, and they want them to go back to school. And I get that. I've never had that. For me, it's been like trying to function with the current state of the world and not having time to, I guess, kind of like contemplate or just have a mental break because you're always doing something. And yeah, it's been rough. It's been rough. And so a lot of people are finding ways to deal or not.
Or not.
And it's a been it's affecting them in negative ways. And yeah, just across the board it's been rough. And
Yeah.
one of the things is like just like the news, right? And no one watches the news anymore, but we're all on Twitter, we're on social media, we're on Facebook. The news hits and there's something like drastic, like I don't know, murder hornets and then aliens and then all sorts
Yeah.
of stuff. They're canceling anime. What? Like, all sorts of craziness,
Not
and
okay with
not at all. And hearing it and not having a means of letting things out, speaking to people, you can't
that.
hug people who are going through the things that they're going through because of Corona. It gets taxing. It's a weight. It's a heavy thing. And we kind of want to talk about it. We want to talk about your mental state. I know we did a episode about anxiety before, but we kind of wanted to retouch on it because of recent things in the news with people taking their lives, and we kind of wanted to have a chat. Have a chat. See how people going out, how people are doing out there, and offer our thoughts. Sharing some stuff, personal stuff, because it's good to share, and it's good to let people know that it's okay to talk to others about it, but then also offer our thoughts on ways that you can kind of deal,
I know that I really wanted to do this topic because I lost a friend recently. Me and him, we actually aren't like close. We don't really talk a lot, like we don't pick up the phone. We really just kept up through Instagram, actually. But it's somebody that I knew from teenage years. Like we worked at the same place for like 3 years and went to homecoming together. Like we're friends. And when I found out that he took his own life, it really broke me. Like, honestly, I was not okay for several days. And I wanted to do this topic because I don't know what happened. I don't know what he was going through. And it really hurt me to realize that somebody who I consider a friend is no longer on this earth, and me being unaware to what his struggle or pain was. And I also in reflected inside because if anything of what he was feeling is the same thing that what I've been feeling for the last several months, then I understand. And that's me being honest and open and sharing deep parts of myself with the audience because I know what it's like to feel hopeless and I know what it's like to kind of not want to be here anymore. shouldn't say kind of know. I know what it's like to not want to be here anymore. And so it kind of just shook me in this way, because this is somebody who was going through whatever he was going through to want to take his life and no longer be here. So shout out to my friend, and, you know, rest in peace, Gary Bates, like, you will be missed. And I wanted to talk about how this timeline of events really, really has an effect on what everybody is going through, to the point where we are where we are. For example, if in January of this year, we were already hearing things about this virus. Now, us as a family, me, you know, you and I, Kenny, were already dealing with a huge loss.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that I'm still dealing with to this day, where I really didn't even process some of the pain that I was feeling until 2 weeks ago. And it's been very, very hard for me, like, that, just emotionally thinking about that loss and kind of dealing with the reality of it on a daily basis. And a few weeks later, I had to bury another uncle. And so it was kind of like this, like, you know, already pattern of grief of losing older people in our family. And then it started getting kind of concerning that, hey, people are freaking out that there's this virus, there's this thing running around, and the public is saying, the public officials are saying, oh, it's not going to leave China. And then it did. And they're like, there's nothing, you don't need to worry about anything. And me going through my own little scientific background, I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, this whole little thing with masks, well, if you don't have this thing, then you know, wearing a mask doesn't protect you. It only protects other people. So if you have it, wear a mask. If you don't have it, then you don't wear a mask, like, type thing. That was the logic, because that's logical. When you are in the scientific community, if you're in the medical community, you already know that. And that's why you had people like Fauci and others who were speaking, like, saying in the beginning, no, you know, you only need to wear a mask if you have the virus.
Right.
Not realizing that they didn't know who had the virus at the time, because they did not realize that this was a 15-day virus that, like, could literally be in your body for 15 days, pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic, and you could be spreading it without having any idea. Whereas most things, like, you incubate and then you spread. This was not one of those things. This is like, boom, you're infected, you can spread. And they didn't realize that in the beginning. So here you have, you know, wrong information just because we didn't know. And then March comes. March came and everything started shutting down. It was like, the virus has taken over our entire country. Thousands of people have gotten sick and are dying. And then it just got scary, because if you remember on the cast that we did earlier this year, we were like, people stop going crazy at the store, you know, calm down, just stay inside, just stay calm. And even though we were right to say that, it just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
It kept getting worse, and people were getting more fearful and didn't know what to do. People are like, oh, I can't go to work. Am I going to be able to get money? Am I going to be able to get paid? People were panicking, but they were panicking inside. And then restrictions started coming, where it was like, you can't leave. Like, people were going on lockdown in April. And it was like, wait, they're saying that everybody needs to be home by like 5 p.m. And, you know, we're on lockdown until Monday. School started closing and parents started accepting their kids back into their arms. Like, crap, we thought we didn't have you guys until June. And it started getting more, like, with more people dying, it started becoming closer to home. Like, that was when I started realizing, wait, I know somebody who's sick. You said the same thing, you know?
Right.
And one of my sister's friends got it and passed away. And so it all became more and more real. And so not just from us in our own personal, like, think about just you and me having to deal with the emotions that we're feeling. And the timeline now is April. Think of the entire United States, everybody else, the entire world, everybody else who is feeling these things. I've got family across an ocean, and talking to them being like, are you coming home? Like, are you going to come back here and then stay here so we can keep an eye on you? Like, are you going to stay there? Then the United States releases information saying, by the way, all United States citizens, if you are in other countries and you are on visitor visas, you have until this day to return back to the U.S. Otherwise, you can't leave, because they did that. My parents got that information. They can't leave. They actually can't, you know? And so that became scary, because that's like, I can't go there. I cannot go there, cannot get on a plane and travel there, and they can't come here. So I can't see my parents. I can't touch them. I can't see them. I can't drive by. And other people are dealing with the same thing. And they're dealing with the fact that their family members are in the hospital and they can't see them and they can't speak to them. They're only able to see them on FaceTime. So the virus then gets so out of control. So many people are falling ill. Mode of transmission is being changed in the public. It's like, oh, they thought the mode of transmission was topical, you know, just by touching things. And they're like, oh, no, it's more respiratory droplets. People are out of their minds. They're feeling a certain way. In the meantime, again, people are still losing their jobs. And since they don't have their jobs, they're like, well, how do we pay rent? And then finally, these moratoriums go out where landlords are being told, hey, please don't kick out your people. The mayors are writing, the governors of states are writing, they're releasing things saying, hey, please don't do this. If there's a federal back loan on your building, then you cannot be evicted. But you know what? There are a lot of people who weren't in apartments or homes that were federally backed mortgages. They were other things. And it's like, oh, crap, I'm at the mercy of so-and-so. I may get evicted during Corona. Like, even if you didn't get evicted, the fear was still there. People were living under several layers of trauma by this point. Crazy virus, killing lots of people, killing people I know. I'm scared I might get it too and infect my family. Oh, and by the way, I can't work. I can barely leave my house. I can barely do any activities just to get away from either my family or just go outside, see my friends. I might be an AA and I can't go to meetings. Or, you know, I might be a teacher of special ed kids and I can't see them and that's making me feel anxious. So many things, so many layers upon layers that were making people feel a certain way that was just because of quarantine. Now, then you have to think of like, well, what impact did quarantine have on your mental health? But then what factors negatively compounded your medical health? Because while we were in quarantine, while all of those things were happening, let's fast forward. We're going through May. The weather is getting warmer. People are yearning to go out. You know, they're seeing the sunlight and they can't even be out there. And then we keep seeing things on TV, which were racial disparities and racial injustices. So imagine Black people being stuck in quarantine, not being able to work. And mind you, Black and Brown communities were hit harder with Corona than anyone else.
Right.
So Black people are the ones who are still going to work. Black people were filling these necessary positions. We're not even going to talk about medical community, but just the regular stuff, the grocery stores, the bus drivers, the train operators. These were jobs that were majority held by Black people who were getting sick because of this. And now we're seeing this on TV that multiple Black people are getting killed by cops for no effing reason. And like, just think about, we're already so tense and struggled and feeling certain things because we are under quarantine and all of these things that quarantine is bringing to us. But now we're watching racial injustices. It just got to the point where people just felt like there's nothing. We're hopeless.
I mean, and that was after, seeing us trying to get out and trying to run, jog or whatever, and being hunted down by, racist, vigilantes.
Yeah.
And then those two people go free for however, I think it was like a month before charges were drawn up. And like, this type of stuff is, I guess, for us, unfortunately, is normal how people can do things to us and not face any repercussions. And then, for everyone to eventually speak out about it, and then it goes through this whole circle of, protesting, and then, they're not liking the way we protest, and they inflict violence upon us, and then there's rioting and all this other stuff, and it's like, it's gotten to the point where it's just a normal thing.
Yeah,
So that's
it
that weighs heavy. But then it's also like seeing people do things that are stuff that we would kind of like we would mention to our friends, like, you know, this is something that has happened, these are things that happen, people not believing us, and then we see it. It's recorded how someone can, you know, like a white woman can try to use her tears to get someone either locked up or killed. And it in one sense it's like, you know, vindication, like, oh, like, see, I told you this type of stuff happens. But on the other side, it's like that person felt comfortable doing it while being recorded for a reason. The person who killed, you know, or the police who kill people, doing it on camera, feel comfortable doing it for a reason. You know, and there was just stuff being brought to light over left and right and left and right. And then outside of that, so that was, you know, and then it was like global, you know, protests. But
Yeah.
even in the midst of that, it was news coming out about abuse and sexual assault and the gaming community, abuse in the film community. You know, just all this drama and craziness and things that were happening behind closed doors are coming to light because people are speaking out about it, and they other people are brave, or, you know, like, because they see someone doing it, they're like, well, I can share my story now. But in the midst of that, it's like this is more and more and more, and yeah, it's tough. And then we hear about our celebrities who are, you know, I remember we were talking off air about celebrities who were, you know, maybe gone, you know, because they needed to stay away from people. They were social distancing, but they wanted to go out, and so they went out on the lake, and things something happened. Unfortunate. I'm not sure exactly sure what happened, but they get tipped over. The boat's tipped over, or maybe they fall out, or maybe they get, you know, there's a strong current or whatever, and the parent fights to get the kid back onto the boat, and then they unfortunately pass away. That's happened multiple times now, with black celebrities. And it's like, I remember you brought up the notion that would this have happened if it wasn't, you know, quarantine, and not so much that they would never go on the lake, but the fact that they felt like they might have had to go to the lake, like this was their only outlet. And so if there might have been, you know, something that would have, you know, gave them pause before, they're like, you know what? No, I'm just gonna go because I need to get out, or I need to do whatever.
I feel like with Maya Rivera, that was, I mean, I don't know her and I don't really know her things, but it's true. It's like if we're quarantined like this, but you live in an area where you're like, you know what? Let me take my child out on a boat. You ha really do have to think about that. Be like, if we were in this situation, would this have been a thing? Because maybe if this wasn't a corona situation, it wouldn't have just been her and her son on the boat. Maybe it would have been her and a friend, like another adult, you know, because a pontoon is a powered boat. You drive it. So it's like, maybe there could be another person. Maybe you would have had another person involved because there wasn't a risk of coronavirus. You know, or maybe if it ended up just being you two because that's what you wanted, maybe there would have been more people on the lake that day if it wasn't a coronavirus situation where people were hunkered down. And so I just feel like they're like coronavirus, these multiple layers kind of feed into what we are seeing. And I don't mean to speculate, but it just seems like a plausible reasoning.
Yeah, it's tough. And then, you know, so like you're hearing these, it's like bad news, you know, left and right. And so you're trying to, I know for parents, that can make things difficult because so to share something personal, so like for instance, homeschooling, I couldn't teach as much as I wanted to. Like I said, the end of 2019 was rough, and then 2020 has been crazy. And mentally, it was really difficult to get up every day and go and sit down and teach, three different, you know, kids at three different ages. And at one point, you know, we had to call a break. We was like, you know, we gotta stop because they're burnt out, we're burnt out. We realized that we didn't have a break for so long because as something happened, immediately it happened, and we kind of went into support mode or whatever the case may be. And then from there, we jump right back into our normal work schedule, teaching schedules, and all that good stuff, to try to get back into some type of normalcy. And that was the wrong move. And the frustration and tempers are high because one person is, someone's grieving and you're trying to teach math, and difficult. And so, like, fast forward today, we the state of Virginia was saying that, or said that, you didn't have to test. Usually with homeschooling, you have to have an end of year test, and you give that to the superintendent of your district or whatever, and they tell you, like, hey, you're doing a good job teaching. You can teach them again next year. And that's kind of them moving to the next grade. And we did that with, the oldest. The other two don't have to right now. And looking at the scores, in certain categories, like, she scored higher than her grade. Like she's in third grade, she scored like above fourth grade level. And most of it was like reading, base, the normal math, and then, I forget the categories, but it was a ton. And the last category, though, is mass computation, and that's where you do basically problems, adding, subtracting, multiplication, division. You just do a series of problems. It's not word problems. It's just how fast can you finish these? And that particular section, she didn't do too well. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't meeting where it needed to be. And granted, we didn't have to declare anything because, like I said, because of Corona, you don't have to. If this was a year what we did, we would have to retest that particular portion, and kind of move forward. But so in a sense, that's like, okay, we don't have to do that. But what happened was, or the way I felt was that, because everything else was done so well, even though we didn't get to finish the curriculum, it showed me that the skill was there, the intelligence level was there. We will, toss aside the fact whether or not she's a good test taker, but the idea that if she got the material, she could pass the test. And the fact that we had to stop meant that she didn't have all of the tools that she needed to pass the final part. And that kind of messed me up. I'm in a better place than I was before, in the sense that I know that it's a two-way street, or I'm not by myself. Like, my I can teach as well as I can, but she has to take the test. I'm not taking the test for her. And so it's not 100% reflective of me. But at the same time, the fact that I couldn't finish kind of weighed over my head, because it's like, if I would have just been able to get through, she would have been fine. And that makes it more difficult to kind of get back in there. Because it wasn't necessarily just me being lazy, or what, it was like, it was a lot of stuff. And there's, and obviously I'm not going to go into everything, but it was a lot. And so to keep that mindset the entire time, or the entire school year, of that, we're going to go, 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 and not noticing, like, and it was at a certain point I wasn't sleeping. I was having anxiety-based nightmares on different subjects, from, like, just dealing with racist people, to someone getting sick, to the people who had passed away seeming like they're still alive, like all these things. And so I don't want to go to sleep, so I would stay awake. And then I have work to do, and I have school to do, like I have teaching to do. So it's like all of that piled on to the point of, like, I don't want to say having a nervous breakdown, but definitely, absolutely not wanting to get out of bed, not wanting to do any sort of work, nothing constructive, in some cases, not want to eat. Like, it was extremely difficult. And thankfully, I'm blessed to have a supporting wife, friends who I can talk to. I was blessed to be able to have a therapist I could see before this all went down. And so the tools that she was able to give me helped, because there's, a part of my issues is the fact that I weigh what I do, against my worth, in that if I couldn't teach, or I couldn't do what I, if I couldn't work, or I couldn't do something, then what good am I as a parent? What good am I as a husband? What good am I as a friend? And that is extremely destructive to just
It's
sit.
very destructive, and it's not
Yeah.
something that you should do. In fact, anytime you ever feel like you're not good enough or you're not doing right, just watch an episode of 90 Day Fiancé. You deserve Father of the Year 17 times over. Watch 90 Day Fiancé and see what kind of fathers are on that show. Just do it. Fathers, husbands, you will realize that everything that you do is like Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory gold. Like here, literally, you are golden ticket guy. Because what you do is amazing. It really, really is. What you do for your family is amazing. And I understand the anxiety, and I understand measuring yourself. Your worth is calculated to your job or the job you do, that what you're able to accomplish. Because I feel like that every day. Shoot, literally, I'm worth nothing. Like, I accomplish nothing on a daily basis. And especially before working in a pharmacy, I was accomplishing like record amounts of not sleep in a night,
Yeah.
and that was really all it was good for. And then, like, I'm about to get an award for putting the wrong medicine in the wrong bottle. So I'm literally worthless. I do nothing. The only thing that actually measures my worth is the fact that my dog is still alive. She is still kicking. She is going to turn 9, inshallah. Like, she will make it to 9 years. That's how I know. I'm like, shoot, at least my dog is alive.
Stop.
Look, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, because if I did not have a dog, then I would literally think that I was zero on the level of zero to hero. I'm sub-zero.
Well,
And
you can't,
I
you
have a dog. She's mangy, but she's alive and she's so cute. She's looking at me right now. So
there's no, and that's where it's like I was saying, like being destructive, because our worth isn't wrapped up in the things that we do. And it, and we can go from all over the place, in terms of like, being created in the image of God, or having family that love you, or just your mind. Like being able to talk to you, weekly is therapeutic in of itself. The fact that I get, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the topics that we talk about. I'm excited that I can express certain things, and I can kind of be me as well. Because with this, and granted, there's a part of me that's like, and for people who aren't black, there's this term called coding, where you kind of switch or change how you talk, your mannerisms, and all the other stuff, because you don't want certain negative connotations, or you don't want to not get hired. But at the same time, I don't talk, I have extensive vocabulary that ranges from, normal basic English to a whole ton of slang. And there are times where I'm like, you know what? I'm in this certain environment that I can't say things the way I would like to say it. So I kind of have to be, and I don't mean like not being tactful. I love being tactful, but I mean in the sense that I would really want to respond this way, and I can't. But on this podcast, this is something that I made, and this is why I kind of distance it a little bit from UFG, is because I'm going to be the most of me that I can possibly be, while talking. And so this allows me to do so. This allows me to be more of myself, as much as possible. And so this is a highlight. And so then I get to bounce off someone who, not only did I care about, that shares the same interests, and and a lot of times the same viewpoint, that even though we grew up in different places and our family dynamics are different, we are able to vibe in a way that I can't necessarily do with other people. Aside from my wife and a few others, there's it's not the same, right? And so that is therapeutic. Even if we're not talking about the issues that are happening, which we often do, just to be able to talk about board games for like an hour, like it's freaking cool. Like, where else can you do that? Like, you could, we talked about how much we like The Tick. Like, I
The
don't,
pit of all people.
fam, that, that's a highlight. Like, or to the point where like we talk about a show, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go buy that show. I want to watch these episodes. Some of the stuff that you talked about last week, like the anime that you were watching, I put them in my queue. I haven't watched them yet, but I'm going to. Like, it's
Which one did I
you mentioned the one about Japan sinking on Netflix.
about? Oh yeah, man, that really stayed with me for a few days.
Yes, I'm going to check that out. So like it's there's a plus. So that's what you've been doing. Like
Yeah.
I don't know, and it's not if you it's something that you weren't aware of. I'm letting you know now that on air, off the air, I enjoy talking with you, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to make the podcast. Like
Exactly.
this is entertaining for myself. Forget
I'm glad I can
listeners.
be therapeutic for you, cuz.
Facts. Forget listeners. Like this is helpful. It's helpful to be able to have an outlet that is
Right.
deemed safe.
And so that's our advice for people, basically. We're just telling you that you should start a podcast just like
I'm not saying all that. What I
us.
will say,
No, you're not.
you should definitely talk with people. You should definitely
Yeah.
talk with people who you trust, and you should also seek help if there's something that those people aren't giving you the things that you need, because there's a lot of at least for me, there's a lot of I feel like there's a lot of empty platitudes and cliched sayings that don't
Yeah.
really they don't offer any sustenance right now.
No.
And whereas usually it would be like something you can kind of shrug off or like, yeah, I get it, yep, God is good, cool. That doesn't work for me right now. I need more. And so if it's something that you need, then don't be afraid to seek that. And there's plenty of people that I shoot, I can help you if you DM or PM me or hit us up on YouTube that we can get you in contact with that can help you.
Exactly.
A ton of my friends have gone through therapy and have come out on the other side better. It's not this big, because especially for Black people, it's like this big, horrible, oh, you might be weak. Stop it. It's fine. Everyone should take some form of therapy at some point in their life, I personally think. And that doesn't even have to be from a professional, but in this case, definitely seek out a professional, even if you don't think you have any type of issue. And there's people that were willing to work with you based on your income situation, based on your, insurance and all that good stuff. There's ways to get help. And outside of talking to people, there's outlets. I mean, Netflix, we kind of joke about like watching everything on Netflix and needing a sequel. There's a lot of content that could feed you in ways that you don't know, can kind of get your mind off of things or kind of like, get you to think about things in a different light. There's also, outside of watching or playing a video game or whatever it is that you need to do, there's also space. Like, even though that you have your kids with you, your spouse is with you, and you feel like you just have to be, you're around each other all the time, take the time to kind of like, you know what? I'm gonna go over here for like an hour, and I'm gonna read, gonna listen to music, gonna do something, but I just kind of need you to not be here with me. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Same thing for, your wife, your kids even. Oh, this is something I want to point out too. I actually asked my kids how they were doing. We were at dinner and I was like, "How are you doing?" And they talked about how they miss being able to go to church, they miss being able to see certain people, to hang out with certain people. And so a couple of things that we've been doing, like for my oldest, she has pen pals, and she's been writing back and forth between multiple people, and that's been going well. I know her and her cousin have been sharing Pokemon cards that way. They'll write each other letters, and then they'll send a card with it in the
I
mail.
love it.
I know. And then we also had like for her birthday, they all got on Minecraft. She was on the Switch. My other two daughters were on the Xbox, and their cousins were all on the Switch, in different areas, and they all were playing together, and that was pretty awesome. There's also Zoom things that are helpful in terms of like just talking to people. Like I get that you can't go see them, but you can talk like me and Tess are talking, like
Yeah.
or Tess and I should say. You could talk to, yeah, I could talk good. I could talk good.
Whatever.
You could you could talk to people. And just hang out in a or you can do Parsec and put up like And for you who don't know, it's screen sharing software. You can jump on the Parsec, put on a film, and watch the movie together, even though you're apart. There's things that you can do. You need more sun, get out, get some vitamin D. That definitely helps you in terms of your mental state.
It does.
And
Walking early in the morning too, like or very early while the dew is still out, like
right.
then you're less likely to get pollen and stuff, especially if you're like me and you have allergies. But breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth in the very early morning, crisp air, that is the best. And I'm saying that because like I have been through it. Like there, I have been really, really ill before. And I remember that one of the only things that would help me, and this was also when I was younger and I couldn't afford therapy and I didn't have access to anything because I was still young and I was a college kid and didn't have anything at my fingertips. I had nothing at my disposal except a school counselor. And that's not, a counselor. They're not a
Yeah.
therapist. Their job is to help you pick the right classes. I remember that one of my saving graces was waking up as early as possible and getting out while the air was still crisp before it would get hot, and breathing in through my nose and out through my mouth and taking a walk. Just it's your best bet. And with the whole wearing a mask things, I know some people are still having a problem with it, and I know we can be hard on people when it comes to that, because obviously masks are the best way to stop viral transfer through that happens through your mouth. If you are outside and the wind is blowing, just it's a simple breeze, and you're not around people and you haven't seen people for the last 5 minutes, it's okay to take your mask off. It is. It's actually okay. Literally, I listened to Dr. Fauci, and he wrote this. He said he goes for walks. He walks like I don't know how many miles a day. And he's like, when nobody's around, he takes his mask off. That man is 80 and he don't have coronavirus. So I think it's okay to accept what he just said in
Right.
that respect. If there's no one around and there is a good amount of air circulating and you are outside, you can take it off. If there are people around, put it back on. Put it on.
Right.
While you are in the midst of other people and there is a 12-foot radius, think that viral droplets are in the area, okay? So until those people are gone and the wind is blown, keep the mask on. Mask on, mask off. Mask on, mask off. It's
There you
not
go.
hard.
There
Watch
you go.
Karate Kid.
Yeah, those the walks are good. And listen, the music has been, definitely helpful. Listen to things that are, because with music kind of put you in certain moods, and a certain vibe. And so, having those at your disposal that you can kind of go to. And for the people who are, because I unfortunately, there we both know people who have committed suicide. Even before this whole thing popped off, for those of you who might be feeling like that's an option, we just want to share the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline for you. That is 1-800-273-8255. That is 1-800-273-8255, and they're available 24 hours a day. And yeah, they'll definitely be able to help you if those other things that we talk about don't help, because we want you to be around.
It's an we care. I mean, because we've experienced we're going through it too. And I know that when you are as hopeless as can be to the point where you're questioning your own existence on this planet, or you're feeling like you would be better off if you weren't here, or other people would be better off when you aren't here, misery doesn't love company at that point. Misery loves company is a great phrase when you're very upset, or it's different than feeling like you want to leave, like you want out. That's different. That it's not about like really feeling kind of like, oh, this other person is going through it too. To be honest, sometimes when you find out somebody else is going through something really, really like feeling like they want to leave the world too, you're kind of like, okay, let's do it together. That and I'm not saying that in a joking way. I'm saying it because I know it's true. And so what I'm putting out there is that there are options. There are other ways to kind of come out, to come back from that, to get back to that point where things are a little bit more bearable. And just what we're going through right now, just like, I mean, people are at their wits' end just for the simple fact that they don't have any money. Like, people are struggling. You know, like, you know, everything sucks and everything hurts. And everything sucks and everything's on fire. And by the way, everything hurts. So when you're looking on your left and you have no money, you're looking on your right, you realize that the one thing you wanted to do as an adult was to support yourself. Like, you didn't get married and you didn't have any kids. All you wanted to do as an adult was to support yourself. And now you can't even do that because you can't work and you're basically quarantined. And if you can find a job, you're putting yourself at risk and it's not worth the money. Or it's not a lot of money. It's not enough money to support you. And you're just basically at your wit's end. So when you're feeling like that, and you kind of don't know what else to do, like, I hear you, we hear you, we see you. And that hotline is there for you. There are other people out here who would do anything to pull you off of that ledge. So if you know anybody in that situation, I kind of feel like the best thing to do, maybe it's something that I regret that I haven't done enough, but the best thing to do is just send a message to people. It's just like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Because I guarantee you right now, nobody is great. Nobody is great, but we don't know how close anyone really is to the edge because we're all feeling it. All of us are in different varying areas of suck.
Right.
Okay. You know, everybody is in a position of suck. And so if I'm feeling a certain type of way and it's kind of down, I know that I don't really want my negative energy to really affect anyone else. So maybe I don't reach out to other people. And I know months ago I had said, hey, check in on your friends. They're not okay. I know I had put that on my Facebook before I got rid of it. So like a couple months ago, but I really meant it. You know, people need to check in on their friends because they're literally not okay. And I'm saying that because as a person myself who's not okay, there are people, my friends, people that I know and obviously that I have known who are no longer here that were closer to that edge. And I didn't reach out and say, hey, are you okay? And I missed the sign. And so I do feel like in this time in which we are and knowing good and well that the pain that everybody is experiencing now is multi-layered trauma that's been happening for several months. It's ongoing. It's like somebody is continually beating your stomach with a bat. And it's almost like this just psychological trauma. The best thing is to kind of just reach out to people and just say, hey, how are you? That's kind of it.
Yeah. And as you know, and this is not obviously the idea isn't necessarily to end on a downer, but the idea is that, you know, to share how things are going so people know that they're not by themselves. So people know that everyone else is dealing, and you know, there's levels obviously based on who you have around, you know, your financial situation, things of that nature. But there are avenues, regardless of what level you're on, that can be beneficial. And so we were just sharing a couple of things that we've noticed that, you know, because we don't have as long as we might want in terms of this cast, but we are, it's something that we think about, and it's something that we have to do ourselves to kind of get over. And so, you know, beyond, you know, taking walks, music, prayer, you know, talking to people, the hotline, therapy,
find a dog,
you know, I'm not a dog person, so I don't know, but
I'm saying find a tether. I said, no, seriously. I mean this in all seriousness. A tether. People need a tether. And that it doesn't work all the time. And there's been extreme situations, you know, like with celebrities who are under the microscope. You know, there were just some celebrities who really just did some stuff recently I mean, and I was very shocked seeing what I saw with the celebrities in the Black community. I'm like, wow, who, you know, are basically on suicide lists. And that really got me. But you need a tether. Sometimes when you are tethered to this planet, some things kind of keep you grounded. And so sometimes pets are a good tether. So, buy a dog.
Yeah, dogs are kind of expensive, though. You might want to start with a hamster or a parrot.
A parrot.
Hey, because you could talk to them.
Yes, and they talk back.
Yes. So, yeah, a ton of things. If you have any hobbies, I've actually graduated from college with a bachelor's in fine arts. That said, I've been doing classes for digital art.
Yes.
I've been taking some painterly classes through that to not only kind of like jumpstart, you know, getting back into doing art on a regular basis, but then also just trying different techniques that I haven't, you know, I wasn't able to do, you know, with getting older, getting married, having kids, you kind of, you like, you know, you work. And even though I was doing writing stuff, obviously, but then I also did art, like I sold a lot of art. I kind of stopped to kind of do more writing because I felt like it was paying more often. But I always liked to draw. I'm always have been an illustrator. And so being able to get back into that has kind of helped me with like a boost, like a personal boost. So like seeing the work that I've done. And it's crazy because within starting these classes, I've already had people commission me for work. So it's like, like there's different ways. There's all these different classes and things that are, that were expensive, different programs that were expensive. A lot of them are cheaper right now because of what's happening in the world. And you never know, you might find something that you like or something that you always wanted to try out and you have more time to do so. And you can kind of develop those hobbies right now. And that could be a boost, you know, especially if you're doing it in a like-minded community where, you know, you show off your work and show how you've grown and whatever craft or skill that you have, and the other people can kind of cheer you on. Like that's pretty solid. Like outside of watching the verses on Instagram, I've been sharing some artwork there and people have liked it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different things you can do. With that note though, we want to kind of move forward a bit in the sense that we're going to be around.
Yeah.
We're going to have more podcasts. We want you to be around as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not just to listen, although that is a plus, but there's hope is what I'm trying to get at. There's hope in tomorrow. The coronavirus is not going to be here always. Hopefully, racist people won't be here always. The Karens are going to, you know, improve, you know, they're not going to always seek out the manager as soon as thing goes left. You know what I mean?
If they bring potato salad with raisins, that's a problem.
I don't think can you fix that? I don't know if you can fix that. Like taste buds all jacked up. I mean, anyways, so yeah, like things are going to be improved. Things are going to get better. Things are going to get, hopefully we're not going to get back to normal. I think we're going to be in a better place when this is all done. Hopefully, and you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, what comes next, if you will. But in the meantime, you know, we're here, you know, we're here for you, and I'm sure you have family that's there for you as well. And if you want to be here with us, then stick around. We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to share, in our journey and things that we're doing and, you know, in to make conversation, to make things a little bit lighter for you. So again, thanks for sticking with us throughout this episode. I'm going to actually post the hotline number, in the description along with our other, you know, normal information. And again, let us know what you think. If this was beneficial, you know, give us a thumbs up. Maybe you might want to share it. That's cool. If not, no worries. again, this wasn't necessarily like a self-promoting podcast. This was more or less therapy for us, as well as a means of helping others with
Yeah.
the, the small platform that we have. And so, feel free to subscribe if you want, and share if you thought whatever we said was helpful. And yeah, that's all I got.
Look forward to seeing you guys. Well, here. Anyway, look forward for you guys listening to us next week. I don't know. I lost all of my language right there. But yeah, so see you guys next week. Or maybe just see you guys in a few days because today's actually Sunday.
Right. Things happen.
Things happen. You guys, we're just great having you. You know, be kind, wear a mask, Black Lives Matter, and peace out. We will see you in a few days. Bye-bye.